And here we are.
What
And
can
this
you do?
is another morning of the Jesus as us, where you can only talk about Jesus, and conversation is the format. So good morning to all. Glad you're here. You have good contingent with me here this morning.
But I
Now,
get my hair in.
Scott, were your ears burning this morning? Is that why you joined us? Were you sensing there was an announcement coming that you wanted to be part of so you could beat me up
No,
with it later?
I felt about this much of guilt for okay. Which usually doesn't happen that often. But
Right, so
see, David, you taught me well.
we'll allow you this morning to expunge your guilt, Scott. We're glad you're here.
Preach on, brother.
Yeah, but
Ten Hail Marys.
so David Fulton and Joan and Jerry Bettendorf and Arnold Quigley, and as we have mentioned, the rare but sometimes welcome, always welcome, Scott Wakefield.
Yes,
He
but I'm
appears
injured.
a little dark on your screen. He's his alias or alter ego is Darth Vader, so he didn't so much you see.
Oh, yeah. I'm kind of fighting the knee pain this morning, so.
But that we're not looking at your knee, we're looking at your face.
No, but I'm trying to forget about it.
Okay.
But
All
it's
right.
not
Well,
letting me.
we'll let you forget. So,
That
David,
was good.
you had the floor. You're going to.
Well, as you can see, as unusual, I have a collared shirt on.
Oh, yes, you do.
I'm going
Yes.
to church after this.
Oh, I have to grab my chair.
Okay, now the reason I'm going to attend a church service today, I don't know if I shared with all of you, I've shared with Dennis that there's a young couple from India attending a Bible college down in Moscow,
Oh
Idaho.
yeah. Oh yeah.
And Samuel, the young man, is preaching at a local Spokane church this morning.
Okay. All
His
right.
parents have flown from India. They've been here. They came in March because Samuel's wife, Ashita, was due to deliver their first child. And so they're here. They're coming up. Ashita's coming. She'll have the baby with her. So after church, Don and I will be joining them for lunch, meeting the baby, meeting the parents. But anyway, I want to go hear Samuel preach.
Excellent. Yes. Special. And any particular denomination or just
I
a
don't know what it is. It's just Christ Church of Spokane.
okay.
So I don't know if it's David,
Assembly of God or.
is this family someone you've met before or?
No,
I met Samuel through a young man that Dennis and I met while we were in India. Young guy by the name of Robin Patrick, and he had mentored Samuel in college, as Robin does a college ministry, college discipleship, and Samuel was one of the young men that worked with Robin Right.
and decided he wanted to become a pastor, and he was accepted at this I think it's what's the name of it? Saint Joseph, or I forget the name of the college down in Moscow. But anyway, that's how I know Sam and his wife is through helping them get set up here when he came over almost 2 years ago, year and a half ago. So, Dave, is he completing the studies, or how much time has he got left?
He's got till he just started his second year, so they'll
Okay.
graduate in 25.
25.
He
Okay.
was on a 3 year program. His wife is on a 2 year program, so they'll graduate at the same time.
Okay.
But
Do
she came
they
over a year after him.
expect to go
You're not
back?
gonna have to wear a disguise into the church, are you? Or
Right.
Yeah.
I will try. I do promise to try and behave myself.
Well, if he puts on a
There
tie or he's got a good collared shirt, he may not be
you go. Hey,
recognizable.
well.
Yeah.
Well, the tie might be a little bit.
A bit much.
Yeah. Anyway,
I
no,
think
they
he's doing a
do.
good thing.
To answer your question, and I say, plan on going back to India and starting a church over
Okay.
there.
Wonderful. And I think it's so interesting of all the places in geographic America or US that they would find themselves in Moscow and close to you. What are the chances that you have to just believe there's something God is up to here, and who
I
knows?
think what we see as chances, the Lord sees as opportunities. So,
Well, it's all his divine
yeah,
plan.
it was interesting. They stopped by. Oh, what was it? A couple months ago. They had two young Indian girls with them
Okay.
who are attending a Bible college in Northern California. And I forget exactly how the four of these kids connected, but Sam and Ithaca were Ishita were
Ishida.
taking them to the airport. But anyway, so met a
Okay.
couple of other young ladies from India that, who knows, maybe there'll be another connection there at some point. I have no idea.
So what's the worship hour, Dave? When are you going? Standard 11 o'clock?
It starts at 10:30.
Oh, 10:30. Okay.
Yeah,
Yeah.
the place is like 15 minutes from here.
Okay.
So
Well.
if I get there after all the worship is done, that'll be fine. So,
Now that's the David I know.
it's almost a joke. Who was it? Oh, one of the things, part of the reason my daughter and her husband don't go to church anymore is because the worship music has become so loud, and they spend more time in singing and supposedly praising the Lord, and then they do the sermon. And
No, that was
you can argue both ways on that, but as we've discussed in the past, most of the worship music really isn't have anything to do with who Jesus Christ is.
David, that's one of the complaints that my mom had when she was still going to New Hope, was just that the music was too loud, and that's one of the things that
Yes,
she didn't like about it.
since that all began, I remember as a young pastor that whole revolution in worship began in the late 70s, and with the inception of Maranatha music, what was there was a couple of others. Vineyard was making their inroads, and then in the early 80s, 90s came Hillsong. And Hillsong just took over. Everybody had to sing Hillsong songs. Sorry, but and the nature or the characteristic of Hillsong music is that it's loud. It's very I don't want to say strong, very repetitive, and it's interesting, guys. Just last Sunday, because it was Easter Sunday, and the wife gets up later than I do, and so I set some music in the living room for her, and I thought, okay, I'm just going to find a station, a Hillsong station, or a worship station. Okay, so it became Hillsong. Oh, okay, she's very familiar. We're familiar with Hillsong music, and so I turn it on, and then I come into my office here and proceed with our Zoom call. When I came out and sat down, I said, "What do you think of the music?" She said, "I used to love this stuff." She said, "And I love to sing it, but why is it so in your face and repetitive? The same phrases over and over and over again." How interesting when we look back and see some of the characteristics of that music and how it became so predominant and what it really was. I'm sorry, it was kind of like Gregorian chants on steroids.
No, I was okay with the Maranatha, with the Maranatha music, and you know I still listen to a couple of them.
Yes, the early Maranatha Scott was very soothing and comforting, very encouraging, very melodic. But
Promise Keepers really glommed onto those.
yeah, they really did. And some of the greatest music I still listen to are some of the things that Promise Keepers was able to reproduce.
But we've discussed, I think you and I, and you know, David as well, have discussed before that as far as the lyrics of the, you know, some of the current songs, it doesn't really, you know, go in line with what we're
And the whole theology that I can't say the whole, that's not the proper term, but the predominant overarching theology that you'll see coming through Hillsong music is God, please come and flood us with your presence. Engulf us in your glory, and all these phrases of God invading our space or making his presence known, and we are overwhelmed by his glory. And those are the predominant themes that come through Hillsong music. So you're looking at that and now with eyes different, and you're saying, why so much prevailing and crying out to God? He's already here. And more should be sung about God, how much we enjoy just being in who you are
You know,
and
one of the things
knowing
that
you.
one of the things I've noticed since I started with this new theology, this
New theology, yeah.
new learning that we're doing, is that you can listen to a sermon on the radio. You can listen to one of the, you know, one of the so-called inspirational Christian songs, and you can right away you can spot where the, you know, where the mistake is.
Yeah,
I was
it's
listening to Alistair Begg last was last Thursday or last Friday morning on his show. Yeah, and within the first 10 minutes, it's like I was surprised how I can, you know, spot just the old, you know, the old theology of
Yeah.
what he's speaking to.
Scott, I would I'd be interested if you keep following Alistair Begg. If I'm not mistaken, he is on the edge of being ostracized by the rest of the Orthodox evangelical community.
Really?
Oh yeah. And
Mm-hmm.
I'll
Good
share
call.
later. I'll share later sometime, maybe more privately. I don't want to talk about it here in our recording, but he has made some comments of late that have really been scrutinized by the rest of the evangelical community,
Is
particularly
it
John MacArthur in that community.
like comments like, you know, closer to what we're following or no?
No, it well, not necessarily. Yes, it is indirectly related, but it has to do with his I'll just say it at this point. It has to do with his compassion for the alternate lifestyle, homosexuals, okay? And you may pick that up, Scott. I'll be interested if you listen to him. And if this is current, sometimes these things are recorded from previous. And then you have to say, is this, when was this recently recorded? Or when is he speaking now? So I'd be curious at what you're hearing. But yes, that's the little side note here for people to
It's
kind of
just
check.
interesting how I can, you know, and I've told you, I've shared this with you before, is how I can tune into one of these programs in the mornings. And almost, you know, almost immediately, like you can see the, you know, the old theology with the, you know, coming through the message.
Yeah, so it's not like we're opposed. We were talking just before our recording this morning about church and our experiences with church, and we want to be careful that we're not denigrating or opposing the church today. There's so much value and so much great experiences there, but it's a little hard to be able to go back into that environment with a different set of eyes that we have.
Well, like David shared, I think it has the church has some value for somebody who's first, who's, just seeking out, the Lord and just seeking out that.
And you want to be you want to be careful of having this, arrogance. Well, I see things better than you. No, it's not that. It's just we're coming at it with a different eye or a different perspective. And
It's not the knowledge that we have, it's the revelation that he's given us.
Exactly. And that's not on our own merit.
No.
Scott, you and I have already been having conversations this morning through email. Some things have been granted to us, and
Yeah.
we say, "Thank you, God. I didn't think that up myself, right?"
You know, we have to remember how long it took each one of us to get to this point of question.
Exactly.
Okay, mine's 20 years. Dennis, yours is what, 30 plus.
Oh, yeah.
Scott,
40, 50 years. I
you've
was
been
hoping on
in church
40,
all your
40
life.
years.
So it's been a journey for all of us. And to trash church and to discourage people from going to church would be a major, major mistake. But anyway, lousy segue, but maybe we want to get into what Dennis asked in his email about Christ in us.
Well, Dave, let
I
me
am in you and me, and I in them. I mean.
exactly. Let me say this, and it may further enhance the segue here. When I look at the current narrative that is being still preached in the common churches today, one of the things that we would be, with our eyes and our perspective, we would be looking for and wanting to hear is more about the whole concept of us living in Jesus. John 14, 20 was not a verse that I ever preached on, nor did I ever hear preached on. And have now, as you hopefully, all of you in this conversation this morning are realizing how fundamental John 14:20 is to our understanding. I in the Father, you in me, and I in you. This inclusion, this dynamic
Oh, you got one?
fusion with the Father, this oneness that Jesus proclaimed
Yeah.
was not elaborated, not taught. And I can say that authoritatively because as a young pastor, I was preaching everything that I knew on the current theological horizon. In other words, whatever the current thought and current perceptions for church teaching and ministry, I wanted to be sure that I was on top of it and knew about it. And that John 14:20 was not in that
You
reference
know,
line.
not to jump in there, but when you were on staff, were you given like parameters to what to preach on, or?
Not directly, Scott, but it was more nonverbal.
Right.
You're referring to my staff involvement with New Hope.
Yeah.
You gained, it was an interesting thing there. The senior pastor course was the predominant he was the predominant authority, and he's the one who had the final say of whoever else is going to speak except him.
Right.
And it was always interesting who he put the mantle on to be his voice if he was gone. A very select people. Somehow, some way, I don't know, he heard me speak or whatever. And I remember the first time I was given the privilege of speaking in his place on a Sunday morning. But I was very, very conscious in that opportunity to speak everything complementary to what he was ministering. That because that was the narrative. That was the I was there to uphold the image, the theology, the whole vision of that church, right? That was
And
what I was paid to do.
because Big Brother was watching.
Well, Big Brother, you had 1,000 people or more out there watching and listening. And obviously it would get right back to him. So, yeah. No, the pulpit is very is a place that you wouldn't realize or think it, but it's very controlled. David, you're mentioning this young man being allowed to preach on Sunday morning here at the local church. And I'm curious to know some of the background and why he was accepted, why he's been asked to preach there and teach. So there's got to be some affinity or some trust, some.
I forget what the connection is. I think this is the second time he's going to be preaching.
Oh, okay.
So there's a connection probably with this church and the school. I'm not sure exactly what it is. But
On the job training.
yeah.
And see, guys, going back to what I just said, the whole theme of John 14, 20, the foundation of us in Christ and Christ in us. No, that was not the perception. The narrative was how to live a very positive, hope-filled life. Christ was here to give you fresh dreams and fresh hopes, and you've been, and as it were, reclaimed and rebuilt, and it's a new beginning. And those are the themes that were predominant in that environment. And so when you got to preach, those are the themes that you worked on. The whole idea of the ministry of that church was to fill people with a new hope. That's why it was called New Hope Community. So
Dennis.
it was not, excuse me, Scott, it was not so much how do I live in Christ? It was how do I know Christ? How do I get to know him? How do I fellowship with him? How does he become a friend? How does he? So there was all of this, what I would call this first stage of Christianity. It was kindergarten 101, and that was fine, and it really was helpful for a lot of people. But that's where it stayed. The narrative didn't get out of kindergarten, right? It didn't advance to sonship. It didn't advance to fatherhood. I'm referring here to 1 John 2, the three levels of revelation of ourselves in Christ. So Scott, go ahead.
What is your I see a lot of similarities between John 14, 20 and John 17, 21.
Yes, absolutely.
I think Jesus is basically speaking to the same.
It's the same theme, Scott. It's the same theme. In the difference, if there's any, in between John 14 and John 17, is mainly in that 17 becomes his final conclusive summary or prayer to the Father. He's bringing everything into conclusion. And John 17:3 is a pivotal verse there. Father, this is what I've come to do, to help people know you and the one you have sent. We see the whole purpose of Christ was, yes, he came to die and he rose again, he saved us from our sins, but that is subsidiary to the overall mission of Christ. His mission overall, as John 14 through 7, 16 and 17 reiterates, I've come to make you known. People don't know you as Father, right? And how do people know the Father except through Jesus?
And
Right?
how are people going to know Jesus except through us?
Well, through the preaching of the evangel. And so we miss a lot of that. Again, going back to what I'm just saying, that theme of knowing the Father, and getting reconnected in a way with him, being knowing or becoming aware of our union with him. That was not the narrative, gang. That, see, we were still hung up, or let's say still camped on the first plateau, which was Christ has given us new hope. He's saved us, and we're recovered in him.
Yeah.
And now we have a fresh start, and we're re-beginning our lives in the way that God has intended. So, as I said, it was very elementary. It was, I refer to it as kindergarten, in not a derogative way. It really is that place where we fundamentally get acquainted with what John talks about, knowing Jesus as our Savior.
You know, you speak to that, but as much of the criticism as I have of what I was taught at New Hope and from what I know now, it was through New Hope that I got, you know, to meet some of the, you know, the greatest, some of the best men that I've known. You,
sure.
David, you and David Goldberg, sure. You know, yes. and a few of the other guys.
Yeah. And Scott, how valuable that was.
Oh, it's immensely. It's,
yeah.
It's
really. The connections and the fellowship and the relationships that we have and those we had and still go on. Dave was referring to earlier.
David has mentioned, you know, how much of a change he's seen, you know, take place in me over the years.
Sure.
That wouldn't be possible if I hadn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I hadn't have met you guys.
And that was, Dave, it was, you were talking earlier about your mission to the college and young adult ministry sector and how fruitful that was. And those relationships still go on.
I don't think we'll ever know how many, you know, how many lives that we touch, you know, going through what we're doing.
Yeah. So do we disregard all of that?
No.
I go ahead.
We learn from it. I mean, yeah. Scott, yeah. You know, your comment about what you went through at New Hope and the past teachings and all this, it's all still very valuable. Okay. I mean, because we start realizing, and Dennis and I have talked a couple of times and kind of joke about, you know, I kind of cringe at some of the stuff I used to teach. That is where we were at in our understanding.
Absolutely.
And it was still valuable
because
more than likely it still helped someone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, David, right? there is a reason, something that, you know, that drew you to New Hope when you first started going there, like it did me.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was kind of badgered into going.
I'm curious here, Arnold. You said you attended church last Sunday. How was that environment? Did you appreciate it? Was it encouraging? What did you see?
Oh, very, very uplifting. It was Easter Sunday at Mariners Church here in Irvine, and their headquarters. And the head pastor led the service, and it was a very encouraging, especially to people that were coming new to the church. There. Yeah. So I think, Scott, you're spot on in what you're saying.
I have to say that the beginning for me of this recognition of how, or how to describe it here, the place, the importance of church versus where I was really in Christ, that was brought home to me in a little book, coincidentally, that David passed along to me early in 2000, whenever it was. David, you were there. You passed a little book along to me that I'm sure some of you have heard and have read, a little book by Wayne Jacobson called So You Don't Want to Go to Church Anymore. Bam! All of a sudden,
There's David's diabolical influence once again.
Well, yes, I owe it all to David. But anyway, I would already, my heart was starting to feel, here's as a pastor trying to uphold this whole narrative and being, you know, upholding this environment that it's so important for people to be a part of. And yet feeling deep in my heart, something was missing.
Mm-hmm.
I was yearning for something deeper, more authentic. And and along comes that little book, and here again, by God's providence. And it's not a factual, it's not a nonfiction. It's totally a novel. But the truth of it just hit home to me in the message. And it made me suddenly realize, that's when my eyes began to open and to see all of the things that, as far as church as an institution, was trying to uphold, but missing the person.
Yeah.
And I didn't know it exactly at that moment, but what I was on a quest for, my heart was yearning for, was to know the person. And who's the person? It's Jesus.
Just a little background on that book by Wayne Jacobson.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to find out what prompted the book, you go to John 21,
mm-hmm.
and basically starting in verse 20, where Peter and Jesus are talking, and Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, whom he had learned, leaned on his breast at supper and said, "Lord, who was the one who betrayed you?" Peter seeing him, said to Jesus, But Lord, what about this man?" Mm-hmm. Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what what is that to you? You follow me." So Wayne Jacobson's reading this, and the question pops into his head, what would John think of the church today if he was still alive? So the whole book, while it's basically fiction, but has so much truth in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's his experience, it's Wayne Jacobson's experience
mm-hmm.
of church.
Mm-hmm.
So the book is based on, what if the Apostle John was still alive? What would he think of church today?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And the Apostle John pops in and out of this book from time to time.
Yeah, it's okay. Amazing.
I mean, it's really, really a good read.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I remember when you first started talking about that book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to the day. Yeah, I'm told, at least this was about a year ago, I learned that from a podcast Wayne was talking about the development of the movie. The movie version of the book. And I really want to see how they put it into a movie.
I hope they don't, like try and sensationalize it too
mm-hmm,
much.
Mm-hmm. See, and it wasn't an attack on the church, guys. It wasn't, this is what's wrong. No, it was an, as David points out, it was leading the story character, the main character. It was I so related because he was an associate pastor, and he suddenly discovers that there's more to this whole church environment. There's more to this quest, I guess. And this character, John, keeps showing up and inviting him into this different space. And he's frustrated. The associate pastor's frustrated. He's about to quit. He's had so much problem trying to keep the institution alive and keep it going. And his heart is ready for for this new fresh insight. And wow, it so ministered to me. And that began for me to see, okay, what am I missing here? I'm a leader in one of the leaders in this environment, and I'm not happy. I'm not fulfilled. What's going on? And led me on this trajectory of knowing Jesus in a more intimate and a complete way that I had never experienced in church.
The irony of this is that the young man that originally found the book, I was with him when he found it, and he shows it to me. I go, wow, this sounds like an interesting read. And he says, well, I'll give it to you when I'm done with it. I said, okay. So he reads it and totally blew the whole thing off. He ended up going to seminary, and he is still 100% into the institutional church.
He didn't get it at all, did he? No.
And, you know, he and I have had a few discussions about the journey that I'm on and with all of you guys, and he just can't accept it.
Yeah. You know, David, I've got a good book you could recommend for him.
The other thing, and I don't know if this guy got in trouble for it or not, one young man that I was mentoring with for quite a while here in Spokane, I shared with him the book, He Loves Me, which is another book by Wayne Jacobson. And it's about God's love for us. And I shared it with this young man, who in turn shared it with his father. And I was actually surprised, because his father told me later, he said, man, this book is great. I was looking for a book that I could help the class he was teaching at church, help them understand God's love, and this is spot on. Now, I don't know whatever came of that. But he said it is so much easier than a lot of the other books he found, because so many of the books he found were so academic and just, he said, they're just tedious. He said, but this is just so simple.
It was. You know? And it still is. It's being translated in multiple languages all over the world. It's one of Jacobson's books that's probably seen more distribution than any other, even surpassing So You Don't Want to Go to Church Anymore.
You know, one thing about you guys, Dennis and David, is you keep my book list growing from the.
Again, guys, the current church, or I say the church that I was a part of and grew up and preached in and ministered in, was really, and let me just give you this verse again. In 1 John 2, verse 12. I'm writing to you, little children, seeing that your sins have been forgiven you through his name. That's the essence. That's the narrative that the contemporary church institution is hung on. All right. It's what we call entry level Christianity, or entry level revelation of who you are in Christ. And it begins at a very important point, knowing, oh, okay, I know my sins are forgiven. That was the narrative of the churches that I ministered in. Getting people to recognize, hey, the past is the past. You were saved. You're forgiven. Start your life now over. Build a new hope. Build a new dream. Okay?
Yeah.
That was the narrative. But there's three levels. The second level of revelation is you skip down to verse... Latter portion of verse 13, I'm writing to you youths, seeing that you have conquered the wicked one. That's the next level of revelation. I'm a son. I'm a son of God. I have his authority and power. I have this union with Christ, my identity in Christ. Those are themes we started to work on. Those are themes that I was trying through my own ministry to open up and begin to develop. But I was so an amateur at understanding it, even at that stage.
Yeah.
Right. And you guys, Dave and Scott, and maybe Arnold, you would know some. As I was heading up the men's ministry for 15 years there, those are the themes that I really worked on. Identity, our whole, the idea of who we are in Christ. And
be a man.
And the authority we have over sin and addiction because of our identity with him. We are his son. And sonship was that theme. But then there's this third level, as you read here, and John doesn't go logical, one, two, three. He kind of intersperses these. I'm writing to you, Father, seeing that you know him who is from the beginning. Wow. I write to you, fathers, verse 14, seeing that you know him who is from the beginning. Now you're entering into a whole realm of revelation that says, hey, I really know where I am and who is my, who I'm from, who is the one that I live in, whose child I am. And now I'm able to, in turn, share this as a father to others. I become a spiritual father to others. This is the third level of revelation. Yeah. By the way, I have this all, guys, if you want, I have a link to a PDF that this teaching is available. I'll link it in our follow-up today. And for those of you who are listening, I can also link it in our podcast for you to make it available. It's a little further extrapolation of these three levels of revelation. It's one of the powerful
things, one of the things that really hit me, which ties in, I believe, to what you were just talking about, Dennis, 1 Corinthians 4:15.
Mm-hmm.
For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers.
Right.
For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel.
Wow. See.
Okay. And part of what fueled this journey that I'm on was one of the churches that we came to an agreement that it would be good for me to leave was I had made the mistake of pushing the concept at that time that a relationship with Jesus Christ was more important than the academic study of the word.
Mm-hmm.
And they were so focused on the academics that they were upset by this idea of relationship being priority. You know, and it's just...
And that's been, again, Dave, part of the narrative. It was academics were part of this first level. You had to get the fundamentals down. You had to get the discipline squared away. This was the first level of Christianity. It was kindergarten, learning where the boundaries are, learning, you know, the ropes. And that's why the church focuses so much on memorization and reading and praying and witnessing and all of those things. Those are described as the academics, the disciplines. I was curious this last week, and even as late as this morning, what books are out there currently in print with the theme of living in Christ? And there's only a few. And I have to say, I've not read them. Except one of them that is the most prominent was written by Billy Graham years ago. Now, I opened up a prelude or a kind of an introduction to the book. I grew up on Billy Graham. And all of us in that era, you know, pastors wannabe or ministry wannabe guys, we always followed Billy Graham and soaked up everything he wrote. Mm-hmm. Well, this book is not any different than anything else Billy had written. In Living in Christ, he used that title, but it has nothing to do with living in Christ. His perception of living in Christ was following the academics.
Yeah.
Following the disciplines. Well, if you live in Christ, you pray a lot, or you, you know, you read your Bible, you memorize scripture, you're faithful in church attendance, you do all those things. That's what he meant by living in Christ. And as I look at it today, that so misses the point. And we're running out of time here this morning, but oh, this is a theme that has so captured my heart today. Give me a picture, Father. Cause me to know what it means to live inside of Jesus. All that he is, all that he does, everything he thinks and feels, I'm inside of that.
That shows you that this idea, that this knowing really isn't shared by too many people.
Why, Scott?
I don't know. People
they don't know it. They don't know
it. They haven't heard of it.
Scott, I couldn't preach it because I didn't know it.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, now think about that. When you first started, when you're in your final, you know, you're the end of your road, you know, when you were on staff.
End of my road.
Well, when you were ready, you know, getting ready to retire.
I was out on the plank and jumped off. Yeah.
But you had somewhat of a knowing of what you were.
Yes.
But you didn't dare preach to that because
no. And Scott, you know why? The timing was not right. I wasn't fully complete in it. Okay, and I am not yet. Wow. You know, I know some things. I mentioned in the email here I sent out. I know some things in life. I know 2 and 2 equals 4. I know the world is round. I in all the multitude of facts that I know. Do I know that I live inside of Jesus and all that means? I don't know that.
Now
I'm here to say, guys, I don't know fully what that looks like, and I'm not comprehending what that means. I have a little taste, all right?
Now, I've told you I've told you the stories about my friend Magdy, right?
Yeah.
Magdy is just like an adamant Eastern Orthodox. Mm-hmm. You're really, really strict in the belief. And I've gotten in a couple of heated discussions with him about when I tried to, when I tried to share, you know, what I believe, and he just won't hear it.
No.
You can see the wheels starting to turn there when, you know, when I try him, but that's what we're struggling against.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if I may offer a suggestion, Scott, don't allow it to get heated.
Right. And that
served no purpose. I mean, what we're discovering is so foreign to people that it's going to be, I mean, and I sense this with my daughter and her husband on Easter. This is a hard pill to swallow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you have to keep it at a discussion level.
Yeah.
And you have to know when to end it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, what I've done is I've just said, okay, until I get like a better understanding or a better way to present this or discuss it, I'm just not going to have that conversation for a little bit.
Yep.
Well, and a lot of people aren't ready for it. A lot of people still have growth that they need to go through before they can grasp this.
Yeah, well, well said, Dave. God has not appointed it to them yet because you're right. They're not at that space. He's not led them to that space yet.
Right.
And we have to be aware of that.
Yeah, when I meet for lunch with Samuel and his family today, I was telling Dennis a long time ago, I said, what we're discussing here on Sunday, I don't dare bring up with Samuel until he's done with his college.
Yes, yes.
Because it would just so mess things up for him.
You know, that might be one of the shortest lunches you ever had, David.
No, well, we'll talk about, there'll be plenty to talk about where we're going with that. So.
Sure. So, guys, here again, let's reiterate for any of those listening and watching, we're not here bashing the church or telling people not to go. It's just that we would understand the message, the common narrative of the church institution today. And it's fine, beautiful. For a lot of people who need that narrative, that level.
Yeah.
And what we're seeing is God has opened our eyes to something even beyond that. And what is that beyond church? Wow. Okay. Is there space beyond church? We thought, okay, church is end all. I grew up thinking this is where you reside. The church institution is where you belong. And then I realized, whoa, God has more than the institution.
Well, remember what Jesus spoke to those future disciples on the shore that morning.
Mm-hmm.
Come and see.
And I realized that it's not about the institution; it's about knowing the person, and where the journey will lead in knowing the person, and how the person leads me to knowing the Father, and that whole space, that reality of where I really live in the Father.
It's the first step.
Yeah.
I think there's probably more people out there than we realize that are looking for something along these lines.
Exactly.
Because of the mass exodus from institutional church.
Right.
Yeah.
Where there's a lot of people are leaving the church, not necessarily their faith. They just they can't find answers anymore.
Right. Right.
And a lot of them need to be taught that some of the answers they're seeking can only be found through patiently and adamantly pursuing God for an answer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That you and I aren't going to be able to answer it.
Yeah.
So we need to continue to pray for what we like to refer to as divine appointments. But we also need to be praying about the dialogue. What are the words that I share with this person?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, give me the words. And Jesus promises that we'll have those words when it's necessary.
Yeah.
And His Spirit gives us those words. So my prayer, guys, is that, and I would say this for my children and anybody in my life, my circumference, I'm praying more, cause them to know. Cause me to know. Cause me to know more of who you are, Father, and my life in you through Jesus. It begins by knowing Jesus. And that I've discovered is a whole realm I never knew that was there to explore and to know. And I feel like I've begun that journey. Now I'm at that next level of cause me to know now what that next reality is, how I am so included in the Father, in the Father in me through Jesus. And I hope you guys are, I suspect you are, of the same quest and same desire. You want to know. And it's not, the answers, unfortunately, are not found so often in the institutional environment. They're found in having conversations like this, or you're alone with God and He fills your heart with this fresh revelation. You'll see it and your eyes will be opened. There's so much I wanted to talk about again this morning, but we'll leave it for another day and another time.
Yeah.
Some concepts that have been hitting me broadside, and I want to hold them, and we'll talk about them in coming days, coming weeks. So cause us to know, Father.
Can you guys keep me in prayer this week for my knee, that I'm able to get rid of this thing?
Yeah. And my prayer, Scott, would be for you to know the Father's presence around you, and this knee is all part of Father. Okay. And watch for how He's going to mend you through what He's doing in your life. I mean, it's more than just your knee, Scott. Okay.
How does Jesus get around having an injury like that?
Yeah. Good question. Yeah, it's an excellent question. See? You're starting to knock on the door and say, Lord, I want to know.
Yeah, let's see Alistair Begg say that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so we'll ask, Alistair, and we'll talk about that off the record here more, but yeah. There's some interesting things happening. There's some convulsions going on out there among the mega stars of evangelical Christianity today. So
when you speak out against one of the golden children, they kind of...
Yeah, exactly. So, guys, thanks for joining me here today. Thanks to all of you who have been watching and listening. Hope you've been encouraged. Hope you have been given or been motivated to know yourself more than you've ever known.
Have you heard from the other David or no?
The other David is as in, oh, the other family. No, not basically. No. Go ahead, Arnold. Other, maybe you're going to say something, Arnold. So,
I don't know.
Yeah, okay. So, everybody, thanks again.
Thank you, Dennis. Thank you.
Your week of exploring and knowing will just grow all the more. So thanks for joining. Have a great week, everybody.
Have a great week, all.
Okay, well,
all right. Bye. Amen.
Pray
Amen.
Goes well with you, David, this morning.
I'll let you know if the church stays standing. So.
All right. All right. Amen and amen.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.